بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد. On the odd nights we'll discuss the virtues of Ramadan and the last 10 nights Laylatul Qadr. And on the even nights we'll discuss about Salah, the importance of Salah, which is throughout the year, only in Ramadan. In this beautiful kitab, Fazail Amal, the virtues of Amal, as the Shaykh Rahimahullah, has brought a section in regards to Salah. And in the section of Salah, there are three parts. The first part of the Shaykh has brought the rewards for Salah, the 10 ahadith, and the warnings for neglecting Salah. There are also 9 ahadiths. Importance of Salah with Jama'ah. There, the Shaykh has brought 7 ahadiths. And the warnings for not performing Salah with Jama'ah, there are another 5 more. Importance of sincerity and devotion in Salah. There the Shaykh Rahimullah has brought 9 ahadiths and the Salah of some pious people, 10 incidents and quotations from ahadiths in regards to Salah. There's about 8 that are mentioned. So the whole section in regards to Salah, the importance of Salah. And we hear commonly in the path of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, whatever is Kalima Namaz, Kalima Namaz, Kalima Namaz. That's our life. Kalima yaqeen upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salah. It's the life of a believer. Servitude to submit, to surrender to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Which is the most important thing, salah. For the men, very important, salah wa jama'ah in the masjid. Our life revolves around that. Once we make this niyat of life, then Allah will make our dunya accordingly. It will revolve around our salah no matter what occupation we have. Allah will make it like that. I remember my brother went for 4 months in the path of Allah. And he did some degree in architecture. So his boss was telling me, this youngster is working for me from the time he came from 4 months, he hasn't missed one salah with Jamaat. That was years. And he says, this youngster amazes me. I sent him to Zululand sometime, far off places, to see the projects that we are doing. And even the remote places, he'll find one Muslim brother there on the site, or near the site, and he'll make salah with Jamaat. Never miss Salah wa Jamaat. He made the intention, Allah Ta'ala made the preparation intizam for him. So how we'll make our intentions accordingly, Allah will determine our dunya. Then our Honorable Shaykh Azam Abdul Hamid Sahib says, that remember, as long as you are in Salah, you left your dunya for Allah. To show your servitude to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, as long as you're in Salah, Allah will take care of your dunya behind you. Allah will never let it go to waste. This is now kamzori, a weakness of iman yaqeen. If I go for salah, what happened to my dunya? Allah will never let you go to waste. But you give it up for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah will give double the barakat in it. And why double the barakat? So easier for you to come back for salah. Allah will not make it more difficult. So part one, the rewards for salah. Hadith number one, salah is the first commandment after iman. So Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma narrates, that he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, Islam is based on 5 pillars, believing that there is no deity but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his servant and messenger, establishment of salah, paying of zakat, performing of hajj, and fasting in Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has compared Islam to a tent resting on 5 supports. The kalima is a central support, and the other 4 pillars of Islam are the remaining 4 supports, one at each corner of the tent. Without the central support, the tent cannot possibly stand. If any one of the corner supports is missing, a collapse will result in that corner. Now, let us judge for ourselves how much we have kept up the tent of Islam. Is there really any pillar that is being held in its proper place? On this point also, our beloved Shaykh says that we want Islam to come alive in the world. Want the whole world to come into Islam. We want the Islamic Khilafah to be restored in the world. Allah Ta'ala make it happen as soon as possible. But are we ready for it? Are we ready for it? When the Islamic Khilafah will be established, then we will have to submit thereafter. So, Hazrat say, when it comes to Islamic governance, Islamic Khilafah, Khalifa must be restored, must be an Islamic country where we can live in, etc. This will happen, Allah Ta'ala's promise will come to pass. But before that can happen, Hazrat says, our own lives, our own bodies, eyes, ears, hands, feet, our faculties, and our entire body is called Adunya Sagira, the little dunya. The little dunya, and you are the self-appointed for life without any elections. You are the prime minister, the president, khalifa, government, you are everything. You want Islam to come in the world, bring Islam in this 1.6 meter tall, 1.8 meter tall insan, bring it into all your provinces. You are the mayor. Bring it through the eyes, bring Islam into your ears, bring Islam into your heart, bring Islam into your limbs. You bring Islam into yourself, then that will spill over into the dunya, and very easily all will come into Islam. Like Sahaba radiallahu anhum, all they had to say, kunu mithlana. They tell the people, become like us. Become like us, and that was it. They saw Sahaba ikram, Indonesia, and all these countries, Sahaba ikram went there, and they did trade. They just did trade. And they saw the people, saw the Sahaba ikram's trade, how they were charging the people, how they were giving discounts. It's sunnah, it's also sunnah to give discount. It's also sunnah to pay more. Both are sunnah, we only know the other sunnah. Discount is sunnah. It's also sunnah to give extra also. So they knew all the way how to do business according to sunnah, just on that one sunnah of trade. And many incidents mentioned also. When at that time the government or the king of the time heard that these group of men, the Arabs, how they're doing trade and how they take goods back without any objection and they'll give the refund. What kind of people are these? He was virtuous for all these things. He was shocked, he was surprised. It's a new system of trading. Just on that, thousands and millions came to Islam. Just on trade, they didn't have to tell them to come. They only saw Sahaba Ikram trading only. So the trader has such an influence on the people around him, that is why he'll be raised with the Shuhada on the day of Qiyamah. Nambiya alayhi salatu wasalam, if his trade is honest. So we have to bring deen into our lives. We have to bring deen into our provinces, within our lives, and then people will see the deen. And then they will come towards Islam. The five pillars of Islam mentioned in this hadith explain the most important duties of a Muslim. Although a Muslim cannot do without any one of them, Salah in Islam holds second position after Iman. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, once I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, from these ahadiths also, if you listen carefully, we will understand Sahaba ikram, what was going through their minds and their heart. Look at the questions they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that they were eager to learn, I want to know something. They wanted to make big deeds with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, want maximum rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, great Sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when Sahaba Ikram, they say, when the new people should come to Medina Munawwara, they would actually think Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu was part of the household of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because he was so frequent in and out. So close to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and always in the first saf. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, once I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, which act of a man was the dearest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why? I want to become dear to Allah. Was the dearest act to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, Salah. Simple. Salah. The dearest, most dearest act to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala is Salah. I then asked which act came next in order of importance. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, kindness to parents. I again asked what was next. He answered, Jihad. To give one's life in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the dearest action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is salah, number one, to submit to Allah. The right of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, the rights of the parents, to be kind to one's parents, and thereafter to give one's life for the sake of deen, to strive in the path of Allah, to make jihad. Mullah Al-Qari rahmatullah alayhi, commentator of hadith, has used this hadith in support of the belief that salah is the most important duty after iman. To protect the iman, salah is the most important. If salah is weak, iman will become weak. And ulama have mentioned this tartib and the sequence also. That person who is particular about the mustahabbat and nawafil, then his sunnats will be safe. And if he's particular about his sunnats, then the wajibat will be safe. If he's particular about his wajibat, then the faraiz will be safe. There's a whole tartib. That is why we engage in nawafil also. On the day of Qiyamah, if there's deficiency in the fara'is, then Allah will look at the sunnats. After the Fard Salah, we are taught also that immediately start your sunnahs. Step to the right, to the left, to the back. There shouldn't be any talking in between. Why? Because the sunnahs are connected to the fara'is. It's a mukammilah. That if the fara'is are deficient, incomplete, then the sunnahs are mukammilah. It's a completion. It's a completion of the fara'is. Therefore, it should be connected to the farz almost immediately. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, after the farz salah, the most he would read, what we hear commonly the imams reading. Allahumma anta salam, aminka salam, tabarakta ya dal jalali wal ikram. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Lahul mulku wa lahul hamd. Wahu ala kulli shayin qadir. Allahumma a'inna ala, Allahumma a'inna. Then there was correctly also. Allahumma a'inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. These are the basic du'as. There are a few others. These are the basic du'as that Nabi Ali says to read after the first salah. The sunnah should start thereafter. Some mashayikh of the view that you can read your wazifas immediately after the fara'is. Ayatul Kursi, Tasbih, Fatimi, other wazifas to be read, etc. But here the Tami Rahmatullah Ali and our mashayikh also, they are more inclined towards the view that read all your wazif after your nafil. After you finish the nafil, because they say nowadays, our wuzu also made in China. Whether it's going to last now. Very long, lambi wazaif, the wuzu will break halfway in between, or somebody will come, and then you know, the phone starts vibrating, I'll take out the phone, and finally, now I have to read the sunnahs. Now quickly we'll just read it now. Just up and down, get time for nafil also. Whereas the original sunnah was to go read the sunnah and nafil at home. But you know our lifestyle, by the time we come out of the masjid, we won't reach home. By the time we reach home also, wuzu will break, busy with the cell phone. When we enter the house also, there's so many zimadari responsibilities we have. Therefore, they say, read your sunnahs, finish. Now you can relax and read all your wazifas, no problem. Now it is Tasbih Fatimi, Ayatul Kursi, three quls. After every salah, we read these different wazaif. Then our Hazrat Wala also gave us some other wazaif to read after salah, which we'll share with the brothers in the coming days, inshallah. That the more we preoccupy time with wazaif and give to deen, then the remaining in time, Allah will give you more barakat. More barakat, so you get more time for more wazaif. Doesn't mean that more wazaif, less time for dunya. Allah will make dunya more easy. Why more easy? Not to spend more in dunya, but to spend more time with Allah. Now your roses become, Allah has a system where Allah will free you for his deen because you're increasing your amal, like Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. So Mullah Al-Qari rahmatullah alayhi has used this hadith in support of the belief that salah is the most important duty after iman. This is further supported by a hadith in which Nabi alayhi salatu salam says, salah is the best of all that has been commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is khayru mawdu'in, the best of all ibadat. Allah has given us salah. That is why the life of a believer, any problem, anything, turaka salah. That's part of our DNA is our kalima and namaz. For a believer, that's his life. Salah is everything for him. That is the biggest wazifa, to turn to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And only Allah will solve whatever needs he has. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, what a great sahabi, who can understand our deen better than sahaba ikram. They were the first addresses of wahi. They understood Arabic. They understood the mizaj and temperament and mansha. The inn of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So when it came to salah, they knew salah was everything. Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu goes to his farm, he bought a plot. He goes to his farm and he needed water, irrigation. The shortage of water. Maisa wadallu, by you got any contacts for water, borehole, organize something. Our mind works everything dunya. Alright, we'll phone here, we'll phone there. Right, get a tanker and all. We have contacts. He called his khadim by open the musalla, two rakat salah. Raise his hands, Ya Allah, Allahumma aghithna. Allah give us rain. Ya Allah. And it was something surprising that Allah would give the rain. Allah gives salah for that. We say, what a miracle. For sahaba ikram, salah is for that. It's like now you put your card in the machine ATM and the cash come out, you say, miracle. Yes, if it was zero and they still gave you money, you say, it's a miracle. Barakat came out. But you know, he's going to give something. Something will come out from there. Sahaba ikram knew this is the ATM. If you put away your head down, Allah is going to give. He's going to come sooner or later. Based on my iman, my yaqeen, my taharat, my conviction in Allah, it is going to happen. They performed his salah, two rakats, he made dua, nothing happened. So they began two more rakat salah. There was no effort. Allah is going to do it. Made dua again. Then to nothing. Third time again, he performed salah. Continued. Then to nothing. Fourth time, he performed salah. The Sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What iman they had. They sat in the majlis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now I feel after my two rakats, nothing happened. So just give it up now, abandon and run away now. It's not going to work. But if he had four times two rakats, how much I have to read now? So after the fourth time he raises his hands and he made dua, he's making dua, you see the clouds gathering together and the rain started. The rain started, and just to show his khadim the power of salah, he tells him, get onto the conveyance and go see how far the rain is falling. So he goes and he sees how far the rain is falling, he comes back and he reports. Say, oh Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, the rain is only falling upon your plot. Allah has sent for your rain. So there is nothing shocking. Salah is for that. Allah will do it, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Salah makes the sins fall off like leaves. As Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu narrates, that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out of his house, it was autumn. This also, when we sit in class, and the asatiza teaches hadith, they say, put your mind and put yourself in perspective, and how the Sahaba ikram, they explain the hadith with such fondness, that I saw Nabi of Allah coming out from the house, is all in detail, because is that just the words, is their hearts that are speaking. It's such a beautiful moment where we saw Nabi of Allah coming out from the house. So he says, Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu says, that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa came out of his house, it was autumn, and the leaves were falling off the trees. He caught hold of a branch of a tree. Look at this now. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is showing him, is teaching him something practically. What do you say, like show and tell? Why? So he doesn't forget this. It will go into his heart. Well, I can just tell him, but I'll show him by illustrating to him what's the effect of salah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam caught hold of a branch of a tree and its leaves began to drop in large numbers. Doing this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Abu Dharr, he called out to him. Meaning, open your ears and listen, hearken. Listen carefully what I'm telling you. When a Muslim offers his salah to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perform salah to please Allah, not just to go up and down, but perform salah as he should be performing salah to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's one muraqabah also in salah, just on the point to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one muraqabah, one meditation, to keep our concentration in salah, is that when a person comes up from ruku, and is going down in sajda, this we can do in every rakat of tarawih also. The Hazrat says that every sajda in tarawih of 20 rakats should be taking me closer to Allah. Allah has given me so many opportunities every rakat to get closer to Allah, closer to Allah, closer to Allah. So when I'm going down, I come up from ruku into qawma, now we are going down into sajda. At that time, make this intention and say to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, I'm coming happily. Ya Allah, I'm coming happily. Not forcefully, now I have to stand in tarawih. I'm coming down now. Ya Allah, I'm coming happily with excitement. And you see from Allah tabarak wa ta'ala the feeling that you will have, but Allah will not give you. I'm coming happily. Well, now you call your child, I'm coming, he came forcefully. Then you see the moods, and you see his temperament. Then you don't feel like telling him anything also. But he comes running, and he says, Papa, can I do something for you? How happy you get? Never mind, come sit with me. We sort it out later. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala also says, Allah, I'm coming happily to put my head down before you. So doing this, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Abu Dharr, when a Muslim offers his salah to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his sins fall away from him just as his leaves are falling off this tree. In autumn, usually the leaves of the trees fall in large numbers. Now that on some trees that a single leaf is left behind, this is the effect of salah also. A person makes a niyat also through the salah making tawbah. Then when he will finish his salah, there will be no sins left on him. He is absolutely clean. The same is the effect of salah performed with sincerity and devotion. Sincerity and devotion. What we call khushu and khudu. الَّذِينَ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ فَسَاكِنًا قَلْبًا. Where the heart is absolutely a tranquility and the limbs are motionless. This is something to be very far from right now. To be motionless in salah. where there's no movement whatsoever, this is taking very long to come within us. Where the person is absolutely motionless in salah, that's how Allah Ta'ala wants us to be standing before Him. No movement at all. Some people feel now khushu and khudu means to move a little bit in namaz also. Or to move one's fingers a little bit. Or to move some toes, etc. Nothing at all. Absolutely motionless. That's how the Sahaba Ikram will stand up in salah. Body not moving, fingers not moving, toes not moving, not playing with the beard or the face or itching, etc. Nothing whatsoever. Absolutely standing in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, absolutely motionless. And check ourselves the next time performing salah, just see how motionless I am and how much I am moving. Even going into ruku takes us so long to just get comfortable. But by the time we can even get comfortable, we're already coming up. Sajda is the same also. Whereas the khashi'un means that you should be absolutely motionless, a standstill. That is how Allah Ta'ala wants you to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is khushu and khudu. Concentration and devotion and sincerity. Sincerity also is not with the head. A person has his head lowered like that, so he's sincere. Sincerity got to do with the heart. And the heart is attentive to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And he's standing as Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told us how to stand in salah. All the sins of the person offering salah are wiped off. It should, however, be remembered that according to the ulama, it is only the minor sins that are forgiven by the performance of salah and other acts of ibadat. The major sins are not forgiven without tawbah. This also concentration and devotion. One is the outer. The person is actually at a standstill. And the heart also is connected to Allah. Heart also connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At least in every posture, at least once I think of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. At least once. The mind will wander. There's the mind. Hazrat says in 4 rakat salah, where doesn't the mind go? Now because you're sukoon behind the Imam sahab, he's reading, should be for the Hanafis now, there's no qiraat for us behind the Imam. So before, you could tour the world in how many days? 80 days. Hazrat says now he's in 4 rakat namaz. Now in 4 rakat namaz, he toured the entire world and he came back. And asked him, namaz, what the Imam sahab read? I can't remember. Once you ask some boy, Imam sahab, what he read in Zuhur namaz? He said, I can't remember. Can't remember what he read in Zuhur salah. Imagine how sleepy he was. In Zuhur namaz, he can't remember what the Imam sahab read. Some brothers are still thinking what the Imam sahab read in Zuhur. So at least in every posture, at least once you think of Allah. One is the man now, he's so busy. And Hazrat says, the women are even more busy. She hardly made the second salam, put the kettle on. Hey, where your mind was in the kettle? Check the oven, please. I forgot the stove on. The entire salah came out in there. The entire salah came out just thinking of the kitchen. Oh, thinking of something or the other in the house. No. And years are going like this. Is she reading namaz? She never thought there's something as concentration in salah. Never went for a program. Never encouraged our wives. Never organized an apa to come home. And we've been repeating this over and over and over again. Alhamdulillah, many of us, mashallah, that we're doing everything for the wife. They want personal trainer, they want personal this, personal that, personal pedicure, manicure. They're all coming home, doing everything. Get a personal apa also. Because so many ladies in our family, in our building, in our street, my house is big enough, alhamdulillah, get a personal apa, private apa, once a week, twice a week, 1 hour, that we have 10 ladies, 8 ladies, 5 ladies, for teach us our tahara, just check our tahara is correct, our ghusl is correct, our salah is correct. What an investment for the husband. Educating the woman in his home. Using his resources in the correct manner. But that we can do for them at least. We've got plenty of alimas, alhamdulillah. They're all opening up small, small madaris, maktab at home. We can tell them, once a week, come home please. We get so many ladies to come. Just check their tahara, they've got questions to ask, etc. So they can ask you all these questions. So they have an avenue where they can educate themselves. It's our responsibility, the husband's responsibility, to facilitate all the standing for the ladies. So we can do that for them at least. At least they can check their taharat is correct, their ghusl is correct, whether they're doing it correctly or not. How many of them forgot the masahib? They're not doing it correctly. Salah is not done correctly. Or the wuzu is not right. Because the mind is always occupied with the children, so sometimes the wuzu also is very, very quick and half done. Not washed properly, or the massage of the head is not done properly, or the washing of the feet also. Now because we're using the sink, now to lift the feet up, sometimes the the heel gets left dry because it's on the sink. So they got to lift the heel off the sink to get the water underneath it. Sometimes underneath, they're walking barefoot at home. Picks up a sticker, sometimes don't realize. The sticker is stuck under the foot for the whole day. And she's making wudu. Then you realize in the night, there's something stuck on my foot. Wudu wasn't done. Water didn't go through it. Or she was kneading dough or doing something in the kitchen. Fingernails are longer, but then it got stuck under the fingernails. Water didn't penetrate. Wudu wasn't done. Ghusl wasn't done. And for years it's carrying on. Concentration in salah, devotion in salah. It'll be the responsibility of the husband that he didn't make arrangements for her ta'aleem. And he speak to her about something called concentration in salah. Then yes, some women, alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala bless them, 4 children, 5 children, 6 children. Now they're busy behind the children. Here, our Honorable Hazrat Wala's family, Bibi Abba, will say to the women also, those that have children, she will tell them, just suffice upon your fara'is and your sunnats. Your nafil is your children. Looking after your children, you're getting all the reward of nafil namaz. Ishraq, awabin, chas, tahajjud, everything. Because you're tired at night. Now you're going to wake up again early. This one got fever. That one needs to be fed, etc. For you, this your tahajjud, and this all your nawafil. You're getting all the reward of it. So they shouldn't feel despondent. That are so many children, I know, getting a chance to make Quran khatam upon Quran khatam. And other women are making Quran khatams, etc. This is your Quran khatam. Making their tarbiyat, seeing to their ta'alim, those children will grow up, mashallah, he become a hafiz of the Quran, he's making khatam upon khatam, the mother getting the full reward. Full reward she's getting. She gave time to the child, she brought him up, sent him to madrasa, got him ready, etc. Now their grandchildren and her children are doing khatam, she's getting the full reward of it. That's her investment, not only for life, right till her jannat. So their salah, their concentration and their devotion. It should however be remembered that according to the ulama, it is only the minor sins that are forgiven by the performance of salah and other acts of ibadat. The major sins are not forgiven without tawbah. We should therefore, in addition to performing salah, be particular about making tawbah and istighfar. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala by His bountiful grace may also forgive the major sins of any person on account of his salah of Allah ta'ala. Once Allah ta'ala can forgive also. As Abu Uthman radiallahu anhu says, I was once sitting under a tree with Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He caught hold of a dry branch of a tree. Previous hadith was Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. But he said, I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from the house. It was autumn. He caught hold of a branch of a tree. He shook it. All that leaves fell. That was one hadith. But the next hadith, Abu Uthman, he says radiallahu anhu, that I was once sitting under a tree with Hazrat Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He got hold of a dry branch of a tree and shook it till all its leaves fell off. Similar to the hadith before this. He then said to me, O Abu Uthman, will you not ask me why I am doing this? Do tell me, I replied. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had done exactly like this before me. How did to the copied? And if Allah did it like that, I'm also doing it in the same way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa had done exactly like this before me while I was with him under a tree. He caught a dry branch and shook it till all its leaves fell off. At this he said, O Salman, will you not ask me why I am doing this? Exactly the same thing he did. I replied, do tell me why you are doing this. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam remarked, verily, when a Muslim makes wudu properly, it's called isbaghul wudu. Isbaghul wudu means to make a proper wudu. Especially in al-makari, when it's very cold sometimes. Then to a person makes a proper wudu. Proper wudu, that we have to learn what is a proper wudu. So many years we are making wudu, whether we're doing a proper wudu. Yes, subhanallah, Allah's fazl, we learn from our shaykh also. He taught us practically what is a proper wudu with all the mustahabbat and the sunan, wajibat and faraiz. Washing the hands, they have to do gargle the mouth, and gargling also, not just to gargle. What we do now, we just wash the mouth only. But sunnah is madmada, it's called madmada. Where a person puts water in the mouth and he gargles also. Nowadays we hardly hear that. Old people used to hear them gargling. Now we're all in a rush now. We're just putting water in the mouth and we spit it out. Put it again and spit it out. Whereas the sunnah and mustahab is to gargle the mouth till the water comes through the bottom. That's the correct method. And in the miswak also. And then to wash the nose also, to clean the nose, there also there's two words that I use. Istinshaq, istinthar. to throw water into the nose than to blow the nose. Here also we don't hear this anymore. We just throw water one, two, three, little bit, we hold the nose and press it a bit and finish. But we don't blow the nose, we don't clean the nose. To put your little finger of the left hand, to put it within the nostrils, to clean it out, then to blow it properly, that also is part of the sunnah. Then washing of the face to ensure now, much detail in washing the face, past beard, dense beard, water must reach the skin, etc. The washing of the hands. Sunnah way now, we know how we wash under the tap, we wash on the elbow going down, opposite the sunnah. Sunnah way is now from the fingers going down to the elbow. Then Nabi Ali Sallam would cup the water because they were using a mud. So cup the water and this way, then you rub it. That was three times. Then the left hand. After washing both the hands, then to make khilal of the fingers. It's part of washing of the hands. Then to make masah of the head. To make masah of the head and then to wash the feet. Then to how to wash it with the left hand, not using the right hand. Then to make khilal of the toes and the little toe of the right foot. Then the left foot. So isbaghul wudu, to make a proper wudu. So that's what the Hadith Sharif says. To make a proper wudu with miswak, etc., with the mustahab and sunan. So Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned to Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu that verily when a Muslim makes wudu properly, not just make wudu properly, and then reads his salah 5 times a day, his sins fall off just as his leaves have fallen off. He then recited the following verse of the Quran Sharif, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَارِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ ذَلِكَ ذِكْرَى لِلذَّاكِرِينَ. Translation, establish salah at the two ends of the day, and when the night approaches, verily good deeds cancel evil deeds. This is a reminder for the unmindful. The behavior of Salman radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the above hadith shows the deep love which the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How they wanted to emulate Nabi alayhi salatu salam in his actions. The Hakim Sahib rahimullah mentioned also when he comes to emulating one's sheikh, he says the only thing is now the murids will emulate the sheikh in his menu. What Hazrat likes to eat? Will eat the same thing, only in the chow. But everything besides that, Hazrat eat the chow, then he, mashallah, 6 rakats awabin he read also, and 8 rakats tahajjud also. Then we say, no, that now is a bit heavy for us. We just start a pack. But the chow part of it, alhamdulillah, then we count how many bowls of alim he ate also. So I also had 3 bowls of alim too. And now how many naan he had to, that, all that we see. Hazrat Kim Sahib mentioned, it happened also in, why we saying this? He mentioned to us in Mauritius, when they went, Hazrat Kim Sahib rahimullah told the host, that I only eat desi eggs, free range eggs. So he had to go to the other side of the island. Hazrat says he had to go to the other side of the island to get desi eggs. And Mauritius, you know how far the other side is? So he mentioned like that also, is that far? So he went to get the eggs, so very quietly he told him. But the murids were seeing Hazrat what he eats, what he likes. So he's eating desi eggs. So the next morning Hazrat Kim Sahib told the cook, hey, make some eggs. He opened the fridge, there was no eggs. So Hazrat, koi anda nahi hai. Anda to khatam ho gaya hai. There's no eggs, all are finished. Bhai, kya ho? There's so many eggs there. He said, bhai, zara tahqeeq kar lo. Ask them, bhai, what happened to the eggs? So ask all the Mori, say, bhai, you saw the eggs in the... Gee, you saw the finish is gone. Where? So when Hazrat was eating, he said, we also ate desi eggs. Then Hazrat Kim Sahib called them. He said, that sunnah of the Shaykh will follow. What he eats. The other sunnahs I'm doing, that you don't follow. Then he told them, he said, bhai, that is one place. Now that's my inclination. Right? Maybe you can eat any other type of eggs. But the amal that we are doing, why you don't follow that? That you're not asking about. But you want to ask now what kind of tea he likes, how they make the tea. Ask how he makes dua, how many rakats, what surahs he reads. I have to learn the surahs also. If he's reading so much of the qiraat in namaz, I also read so much qiraat in namaz. He says, now that is islah. Not islah of the pit or the stomach. Islah of my amal, of my akhlaq. But the behavior of Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu in the above hadith shows the deep love which Rasulullah sallallahu which the Sahaba Ikram had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They would often remember the sweet memories of the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi was living amongst them. They would, while quoting him, do exactly what they had seen him doing at a particular moment. And the above hadith mentioned is made of wudu to be done properly. We should therefore be sure of the rules of wudu and try to make it correctly. For example, using a miswak is a sunnah of wudu, alhamdulillah. A brother brought a whole box of miswak upstairs. We don't have a miswak, we can take one, inshallah. Make it a habit of using it. Now in the condition of fasting, don't eat too much. The bristles also come into a person's mouth, he can break his fast. So just use it unnecessarily now. There are times to use it. So wuzu time, we can use a miswak. Is that a problem during fasting also? So using a miswak is a sunnah of wudu, but is very often neglected. It is said in a hadith that the salah offered after making miswak is 70 times more rewarding than the salah performed without making miswak. The hadith says, for example, to understand the reward for this person made wudu, used miswak, and he read Isha namaz. So he get the reward as if he read Isha 70 times tonight. Who read Isha 70 times tonight? Allah Ta'ala says, one time use a miswak, then you read 70 Isha tonight. That amount of reward Allah will give him, the barakat of it also. In another hadith, use of miswak has been encouraged very strongly. These are some of his benefits. It cleanses and sweetens the mouth and stops his bad smell. It makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy and displeases shaitan. Allah Ta'ala and his malaika love the person who makes miswak. Allah loves that person. It strengthens the gums and improves the eyesight. It clears out bile and phlegm. To crown it all, it is a sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu salam. As many as 70 virtues of the miswak have been counted by the ulama. It is said that a person who is in the habit of making miswak and dies with the kalima on his lips. And this is the last amal of Nabi alayhi salatu salam before he passed away also. Where he put the miswak in his mouth and with that he passed away. It is mentioned in a hadith that the parts of the body washed in wudu shall shine on the day of Qiyamah, and by this sign Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will at once recognize his followers. Allah Ta'ala gave us tawfiq to make amal to ensure wudu is correct, the taharat is correct, now salah is also perfected. Inshallah, we have these days also in i'tikaf to check our namaz. As ulama ikram hufaz, please check my namaz is correct, how I'm standing correctly also, making my ruku or sajda, and we're doing correctly. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq inshallah. We just can have a little break and then we start at what time? 11 o'clock inshallah. Jazakallah. Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah. Not too far.